Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another awesome, if I do say so myself, episode of the Life in Control podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo, and I got Peter, Polish Peter to be exact, on the show as well. And we're going to talk about something really cool, dude. I'm excited for both of us to have this discussion because it affects, I believe, like almost every single entrepreneur out there.
Is it whether or not to be Polish or not?
I don't know if anybody struggles with that. We could do an episode on that, though. We might have the all-time lowest downloads ever, but we could try.
No, listen, I will tell you this. So I've had a coaching call today with one of my students, and the word Polish came up from their mouth probably four or five different times. So the whole idea whether I'm Polish or Polish, it came up. You know, I'm just saying, I think, you know, and they're not Polish.
It's one of life's greatest mysteries, man. Someone will solve that someday.
So, all right, what are we talking about today, man?
So listen, dude, before I tell you what we're going to talk about today, though, I want to kind of talk about why I think it's so valuable. So I said before that I believe almost every entrepreneur struggles with this. And the reason is because the same exact things that make an entrepreneur really good and successful are also a double-edged sword and can sabotage them. So many times entrepreneurs have a hard time focusing, have a hard time eliminating distractions, have a hard time like heads down, getting the things done need to get done without checking social media or jumping to another project or, you know, moving on to something else and leaving something finished. And this past week alone, I've had two significant conversations. One had just joined the Life in Your Membership program, and another one was at a group that I spoke with last night, actually. And same underlying cause, which is, well, I shouldn't say that. Same, different causes, same behavior, which is they are not getting things done. They are getting, they get themselves in this cycle of like feeling overwhelmed, right? So they don't start, or they feel like they're behind, they start working on something, they get distracted because they realize they have 18 other things to do. And so they switch tasks and they'll leave that thing unfinished, but that just leads to more emotional burden and mental bandwidth being taken up. And then they realize at the end of the day, they're like, what have I done all day? And, you know, they have nothing to show for it in terms of really a tangible output, you know, that you have a little bit of work done here, a little bit of work done there, but nothing that's completed. And so you carry this baggage forward with you day to day to day, and it gets harder and harder to let go of because you get further and further behind. And so, and I want to kind of talk about what are some of the main causes behind this that we've seen. You know, we share, and we have a lot of different events in Life in Air, and we've had over 10,000 people come through our events. I've done a lot of speaking outside of Life in Air as well, and I talk with people after for, you know, I'm always there for an hour or two answering questions. And this one was like the last one where when I'm getting ready to leave, and I had a really good conversation with this woman. And so I think it's really important we dig into this, dude.
Yeah. So by the way, as you are sitting there and talking to them for the last hour, they actually listen to you?
Dude, they're like taking notes. They're like, I mean, they're nodding their head, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, it's like free coaching, really.
No, listen, I think that's a really important aspect to talk about because it boils down to everything, business, in life, in relationships, in health, with every single area of your life. I think it permeates throughout the whole thing. And it starts with, you know, your belief system. I think a lot of it, why, you know, the squirrels, I call them the squirrels, right? Or go down these rabbit holes of, I need to take care of this. And sometimes it looks like having five different businesses. Sometimes it looks like I'm just not getting things done. Sometimes it looks like I'm all over the place, right? And at the end of the day, I'm just like stressed out and exhausted. And I think it's really important for people to figure out what exactly is causing it. So what, from your perspective, what do you think it is?
It's not one thing. It's like, so I think if you had to like operationalize this and like really get tactical with it, you have internal causes and external causes. Your internal causes, I believe, are there's a couple things. And this is where you got to do some work and figure this out on your own. Like, some people are afraid of success and they know that if they push through that task and complete it, they're one step closer to success. That could be holding back. Some people have a fear of being bored. And if they complete the task, like, they are going to not know what to do next. Some people have a belief around, you know, perfectionism, and it's never done because it's never good enough. And, you know, as you guys know right now, like I'm literally, so my book launch is going to be March 10th. And I've been writing this thing for 3 years, and I'm in the final stages right now of getting it formatted. Illustrations are done, everything's edited, but I actually feel resistance to finishing the book because like it's been such a long thing and I want it to be perfect. But at some point, like, you gotta just put it out there. And regardless of whether you're talking about a book or a project or a task, you just gotta get it done. So perfectionism is another one. These are all internal. What else, what other reasons do you think for internally people get stuck here?
Well, you mentioned success. The other side of it is failure. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of my students. I said, what are you afraid of? Because when I was talking to him about this, and he goes, well, I'm afraid of failing at this, right? So, but the thing is, when you look from that perspective, if you, what we were talking about here when it comes to the internal aspect of it is you got to dig down deep on what's the real cause. And when you start to dig one layer down, another layer down, you're going to come to the belief that I think it's the failure, but at the end of the day, it's like I'm feeling I'm not good enough. Not good enough to be, let's say, successful, to be at that level, because what would, you know, and then you have some beliefs maybe about rich people, because I had to deal with that myself, by the way. You know, I had this belief that rich people are bad and they take advantage of others. And by the way, so if I wanted to be rich and wealthy, I wouldn't want to be that kind of a person. So you got to dig down of where these beliefs are coming from, what you were thinking about. And then most of the time it's going to come from when you were a kid, come from the people that you were close with, the environment that you were surrounding yourself with. And you're going to distill that internal thing that keeps you moving in so many different directions. The other thing that I think keeps people from it is lack of clarity. I think lack of clarity, like lack of vision, lack of clarity from the internal perspective, looking from the perspective, what do I want my life to look like? Where am I going? What's the, you know, what's the, like, the road that I'm taking to get me to where I want to be? And we constantly talk about it on this podcast about having the vision, where you want your life to look like in 3, 4, 5, whatever, 10 years. Because when you have that destination and then you start making choices based on that destination, not on your current circumstances, then a lot of those squirrels, a lot of those, you know, rabbit holes start to go away, because you're going to know, like, me going and, you know, looking at this particular business, it's not going to, you know, get me to where I want to go. Or you start looking from the perspective, like, you know, I want to, whatever your thing is that you want to do in life. When you start looking from what that vision looks like, what do I want my vision to look like? And you make decisions based on that, a lot of those squirrels go away. And
yeah, I think that's true, dude, but I think that's oversimplifying it. Like, because we know a lot of people that know what they want their life to look like, but like they just have a hard time bringing it and connecting it to with their daily activities. So I think there's even more to it. Like, that's a prerequisite. Well, that's
the reason, right? Why I said that how many people do we come in contact with that we know, but we come and talk to them at the events? How many of them have actual vision written down?
Oh, that's, yeah, just, it's a prerequisite, but like,
right. So that's why I'm bringing this up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's when you start, once you have that vision, you know, you start looking from the perspective of like, well, what's stopping me? Why do I have all these squirrels in my life right now? Once, if I have that vision, you know?
Yeah. So the vision helps eliminate squirrels. And, you know, I talk a lot about elimination in the book and like, and really focusing down. Cause listen, the easiest way to be productive is to have less things to do. Like, that's the easiest way to be productive, is to just have less things on your plate. And so you've got to recognize, like, that's one thing. But there's a few other things I think I've hit on through my experience and conversations with people. One is that people sometimes, you know, have the wrong frame and the wrong perspective around accomplishing things. And, you know, I believe that, like, breaking things down into small bite-sized chunks is the easiest way to move forward. You know, Jordan Peterson refers to this as kind of like not shooting quite as high, at least as in terms of a really steep curve to like some big dream or goal or aspiration, but rather make it something bite-sized that you can feel good about and that you can actually accomplish. Like, dude, I have a list in front of me of 1 to 2 to 3 things per day that if I get done, I'll be successful. It's not 20 things. It's not even 6 things. It's like, if I do these 3 things today, 2 things today, like this is a win for me. And so you don't get inspired to climb the mountain by staring at the mountaintop. You get inspired and you make progress by taking 1 foot in front of the other and like looking at the next, you know, mile marker or the next, you know, little red tag on the tree or that next boulder that you got to get to. And so I think it's a perspective issue too. Like you're biting off this huge thing and you're looking at this huge, hey, I got to create a sales funnel. And of course, you know, within that sales funnel are 18 different things. And within those 18 different things there are also 10 more each, 10 more things than each of those 18. Mm-hmm. So like you can get overwhelmed really, really easy. You know, I think the other thing is sometimes people don't know, you know, you underestimate, and this is something I found out and I continue to experience, is like for everything I do takes me longer than I think it's gonna, and it's more work than I think it's gonna. And so instead of getting discouraged when that happens, look at that as an indicator of progress. Like, hey, I'm actually doing the thing that I need to be doing because it's taking me longer than I thought it would, rather than being disappointed or getting on yourself about it, because that's not going to help either. Like, it's just everything's harder than you think it is. Like everything. So just like that's the ticket of entry, right? The cost of entry. And like, so you got to just recognize like you just got to be, hey, it is what it is.
I think the other thing is, from a mental perspective, that I think a lot of times ends up being the squirrels and ends up being the shiny objects or whatever you want to call it, is people are not present in life. I think just being present makes a huge difference, because think about this, right? If I'm sitting here right now talking to you, right? And we're having this conversation on this particular podcast about this particular idea, and my mind goes into, oh, I got to take care of 20,000 different things. I got to do this. And I got to pull out my phone and I'm going to look at it. And I look at myself.
I'm sorry.
How great
I'm
looking.
Were you saying something?
Yeah.
I was checking my Facebook.
You tried to prove a point. The fact that you have a pinkish looking phone, that's a whole
lot. Orange. It's orange.
Yeah, sure. You know what? That's just this camera angle, how it's set up. It looks like it's orange, but I think in reality it's more pinkish than orange. But anyway,
that's your internal filter, bro, coming through.
But I like it when you laugh, by the way. Those of you who are not doing this on a video, I would encourage you highly right now to come to the video, look it on YouTube. And look at Vojo right now, because when he laughs, he squints. His eyes are so freaking tiny that it's like, we're like, what? What's going on here?
Anyway,
squirrel in a conversation. Look at that, right? But the point I'm making is like, when you're not present in life, that thing right then and there makes things longer. Think about it this way. How many times have we sat down to do something? Let's say I got to write this email for this particular person, right? Because I got to reply to him. You sit down and you look at your tabs. I'm like, oh, I forgot to do this. And you go and jump into the tab, right? And then you're in the tab and you're looking. So, oh, I forgot to do this. I got to do this. So now all of a sudden, because you're not present in that one particular task, now you jump through 20 different tabs, and that email that will take you 5 minutes to write, at the end of the day, is still not written. You know, so I think practicing being present. That's why I think when people talk about meditating in the morning, being spending time with the Lord or whatever it might be, it's so important, so you can train your mind to be present that very moment.
Yeah, totally, dude. Hey, we're going to get right back to the episode, but before we do, I'm so excited to finally share this with you. The Business for Life book is finally launching. I've taken 3+ years of my life, 15 years of academic training, 19 years in business, and put all of this into one single source for you to create an amazing life and business you love. If you've been following the podcast for any period of time, you know this is all what we're about. And never before have I taken all the principles, all the lessons, all the experiences into one place so that you can have a step-by-step blueprint for achieving it. It's meant to be tactical. It's meant to be a roadmap. It's not a fluffy business book, but it's something you can actually use and refer to achieve the freedom you wanted the business for, so that you can get your time back, so that you can get your life back. Go to businessforlife.com to learn more. You can grab your copy off Amazon, and the instructions are right there. I'm so excited to be part of this journey alongside you, and I have something here that I know 1,000% is going to help you like nothing else ever has before. And I'm proud to present this to you and be part of that. So go get that book and let's get back to the episode. Well, and somewhat related to that too, is being present, is I think this is going to come off harsh maybe. And I'm, you guys know me, friends, right? Don't send me any hate email, but like, I think some of us have a lack of discipline of like, we give in to that entrepreneurial urge of the new, the shiny, the exciting, the fresh, the different. Yeah. And, you know, putting your head down sometimes and finishing something to completion is not fun. But this other thing is fun, and that gives me a little bit of creative outlet, and I can, you know, exercise a little bit of that, you know, like newness or novelty or uniqueness to that new thing. And so we don't, you know, force ourselves to be disciplined to finish things.
Well, I think that's, you touched on something really important, is because we, I think humanity, the way that society has been put together, is we avoid doing hard things. You know, whatever we can do, because then now, oh, how do I survive in this world? If I have to do the hard thing, then it's, you know, like hitting on my ability to survive. So we tend to think about it this way. This society is built on instant gratification, a lot of it, right? Like right now, how many times have you gone on Facebook and it's loading for a little while? You're like, oh my God, how long is it going to load?
You'll right? swipe away. If it takes
yeah,
2 seconds.
Swipe away, right? Two seconds,
you're gone.
Right?
Yeah.
Instant gratification. So we avoid doing the hard things. So then when something, and by the way, I don't care what it is, something at some point during that process become challenging, right? So that becomes a hard thing. So now what happens? Oh, that became a hard thing. Now I got it. I bought this system for real estate investing. I'm going to learn how to wholesale. And one of the things they're telling me, I'm going to go and start calling people to do wholesale deals. Ooh, that's a hard thing. I don't know if I'm going to do it. And I start having conversation. Ooh, now I got a course on lease options. Oh, that's a little bit easier because then I can go and do this. Then you get some kind of hard thing in there and then you go squirrel another way. So I think learning to, for yourself, do the hard things, do the hard things. Do the hard things. I think it's going to eliminate a lot of that squirrel kind of conversations.
And I think you really got to find, you know, some mindfulness and some attention and, you know, really recognize, like, dude, I recognize myself, like, you know, if I'm on socials, I'm swiping away like in seconds. I'm not giving someone even 10 seconds of time, like if it's not grabbing my attention. And so now take that same short-term attention span and apply that to work. And it's no wonder that we struggle so much. And so you kind of got to decondition yourself in some ways to like focus more, avoid the distractions, which kind of leads us to a little bit of maybe the external frames and the external influences that affect our productivity. And so one of the things is, you know, what are you doing to minimize distractions within your working environment? Is your working environment, you know, a Starbucks and you're constantly looking up and people ordering or someone coming in or leaving? Is it cluttered everywhere? Do you have 18,000 tabs open and different windows in your computer? You have notifications set up. You know, your environment is one of the easiest things you can change, which is, by the way, one of the biggest reasons Life In Air is successful as a membership program is because you're around other people like that are doing what you want to do. And so that's one of the biggest hacks I think you can do is like just change your work environment itself.
Yeah. So I'll give you some couple of examples like what I've done for the work environment. Like, I don't remember when was the last time I had my phone ringer on. And that eliminates a lot of the distraction when someone, let's say, calls me, right? And I don't pick up any numbers that I don't understand. Someone that I don't understand, I don't know, leave a voicemail kind of thing, right? Because throughout the day, whatever your business might be, that a lot of times become distraction. You give up your power to someone else to take advantage of your time kind of thing, right? When someone calls you, just pick up the phone for no random reason. It might be a telemarketer, it might be whoever it might be. Now you get distracted, right? And there's been a science, I think that they said that if you are working on a specific topic, whatever it might be, let's say you're writing a copy, and then you get on a call and you get on, let's say 5 minutes on the call, for you to get back into that topic fully like you were before, it probably taking another 20 minutes to fully get back into it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's costing a lot of those times. So like the number, my phone, it's on silent always. It's always on silent.
Yep.
It's on vibrate kind of thing. So look for your perspective in your life. How do I hack my environment to my benefit?
So right? one tactical thing there is I don't know if you can do this on the Android, I'm sure you can, but like for instance, my work calendar is somehow linked to my phone. So my phone automatically, if I have something on my calendar, it automatically goes to, it's called focus mode. And so my phone won't even ring. Like I won't even see the phone ring, let alone vibrate. Like nothing happens. And so
that's
you
why you don't answer my calls lately. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what it is, man.
No.
So you can just find these little things. The other thing that I think is really revealing is, so for instance, a little while ago, this maybe I don't know, a couple of years ago, I picked up a timer, like a kitchen timer. And I think it's useful in two different ways. And this is kind of a good litmus test and a starting point for you to know how you're doing. So for instance, there's two ways. So one is you hit start when you start working on a task and see how long you can go before you switch tasks, before you feel pulled in another direction, before you get up to check social or check your email or do whatever. Push stop and see what that time is and record that. And you might be shocked. You know, this to me, it's like when I used to do fitness training for people, I would have them write down everything they did. And by the way, time tracking is a great, great, although painful exercise for you guys to get more productive. But I'd have them track what they were eating for food. And every time it was very revealing because they always were off compared to what they thought they were, either too high or too low. And so when you see what you actually are, how long you're actually productive, it's very enlightening. And it shows you whether this is a problem or not. Now, the other way to do it is as a kind of an accountability tool and as a taskmaster, where you could set it for, say, 30 minutes and you're going to push go and you will not get up from that seat, change tabs, switch windows until that 30 minutes. I don't care if you have to do a bathroom. I don't care what it is. You finish that 30 minutes or whatever that time frame you decide it is. And so like you, there's these external tools that you could also use to really help yourself be more productive. Now, there's something, an additional layer here we're not going to get into, which is like, hey, are you actually working on the things that are most important in your business? Because that's really where the gold is.
Yes.
But if you can't focus, it almost doesn't matter because you're not going to get them done anyway. So like, yes, you have to be able to identify what the specific bottleneck is in the business, but you still need the ability to focus and like be disciplined enough to get in there to do the hard stuff. And that stuff also shows up a lot more with the fears. Like when you're actually doing something that has an output and it can mean something for your business, then it becomes a little more scary. But like, you got to learn how to focus. Like I just see so many people watching, you know, and I become a little bit, I don't want to say a jerk about this, but like, you know, I just thought of another conversation I had about something similar. And he was telling me all these grand ideas for everything he wants to do. I'm like, okay, so what are you going to commit to? Like, what's going to be done by the end of the month? What are the actions you're going to take? He's like, oh man. I'm like, get tactical with me. And he's like, man, like, yeah, like tactical. Yeah, man. And he paused. And that's why
I got to think through this.
Yeah. You should have thought through
that. A lot of times people, that's their answer. I got to think through this. That's by the way, that answer is another squirrel. That's, you know, pay attention to your language too. And one of the things that I would, you know, listeners right now, pay attention to the language that you use throughout the day, because it's going to reveal a lot of times how your language becomes a squirrel too. So, and that's more like it's starting kind of like that snowball effect. So what he's talking about, I think, is so true. You know, when he mentioned, like, are you doing the things that are, you know, the leverage things in your business that really matter? By the way, if you are squirrely right now, majority of the time means you're not doing the things in your business that you should be doing. That just, you know, that's like, it basically shows that that's not the case. So we're talking about several different kind of indications for you to how to find out the squirrels. There are some remedies to that. But I will tell you this, that focus, there's got to be a strong why behind it. Why am I doing all this? Right? What's the reason that I'm sitting down here for the next hour or whatever I'm doing? Because think about it this way. Like for you, Vojo, writing that book. I know, because I've been talking to you for a long time, how much work and effort and sweat and hair, you know, went into it to be able to write this book. You had to cut down so many words, right? So because you complexified some of the wording and all that kind of stuff. So what keeps you going? Why do you keep going into this book?
Dude, because number one, like, I know how many people it can help. Like, genuinely in my heart think this is going to make a huge, a true difference for people. It's not just another read.
So that means at least one person believes that.
And it's not my mom. Like, it's an actual person.
You, right?
Right.
No, but so, there was a strong why behind
it. Dude, listen, otherwise, like, I wouldn't have written it. Like, you know how much, do you have any idea how much time, you've written a book.
Yeah.
And by the way, side note, I've run into those people that are like, yeah, dude, I wrote my book in like a weekend. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I can tell. Like, that is not a book. Like, I'm not writing a business card. I want this to be something that's tangible and valuable and provides true, true, true steps for people. And so, dude, that's why I do it. And that's why I focus. And like, And it's going to be harder than you think, and it's going to take longer than you think, but this is what being a business owner is all about. This is the price of freedom, because what's your option? You don't do it. Okay. And then what?
Mm-hmm.
What's your choices?
Live in a van down by the river.
Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, you can choose the fear of uncertainty of whether something's going to work or whether it's going to be good or whether people are going to like it or whether they're going to click on it or buy it or whatever. Or you can accept the certainty that no one will buy it if it's not done, or that it'll never get out there and no one will ever read it if it's not completed. And so you get to choose that. And it is uncertainty versus certainty. And that's one of the biggest reasons I think people struggle, right? And they tie their identity to it. What's that?
I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a book so you have at least one sold copy.
One sale. Thank you, bro.
All right, there you go. No, well, listen, hopefully guys, this is helpful.
Yeah, listen, this is, and I didn't mean to, maybe this came across as a little bit of a rant, but I mean this with all of my heart. Like, you are capable of amazing things, of incredible things that maybe would even surprise yourself if you were to just execute and get those things done and buckle in and really, like, you know, embrace the challenge and then, you know, dive into the uncertainty head first. And like, amazing things will come out of that, because, you know, the alternative is we just live a life of kind of mediocrity, playing it safe on the sidelines and the stands. And we never get to kind of get out there on the field. And yeah, we're going to fall down. And yes, I promise whoever reads my book, I promise there will be spelling errors in there, despite how many times I've gone through it and how many other people have as well. And guess what? Is it going to be embarrassing? Yes. Could it be distracting to somebody? Yes. But what am I going to do? Just continue to, like, read over and over and over again until it's perfect. And then, you know, a year later it's out. And meanwhile, all the people that could have benefited from it, like, didn't get a chance to read it. Right. So we just got to get it out there, guys. Get out there.
I would change the second chapter if I were you.
All right, guys. Hope you guys have found this valuable. Listen, I want to hear and support you through your success. And so does Peter. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called, if you just search Life in Air, it's a Facebook group. You got to apply, because we don't want spammers in there. There's no application. You don't have to, like, do anything fancy, but it's just like, hey, you know, we know you're a real person and not just a bot. And if you have questions, if you have struggles, if you want to get some support, some accountability, like, post it in there. Like, we're here to support you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And like, I want to see some amazing things come out of you that I know you're capable of. So come join us over on Facebook. We will see you next week, everyone. Have a great one, and go get in there and dive in and get that stuff done. All right. See you guys.